for everybody that's lifted their voices. And you know, I'm gonna keep calling these young people up here and getting them incorporated into the service. Jasmine, you up next week, so you can get ready. Amen. Amen. Get these young people ready to serve. Amen. We're going back into Ephesians. We're going through the walk of the believer. We talked about the walk of love in verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 5. And last week we talked about the walk of purity. The walk of purity. Anybody experience anything? These lessons are having any type of impact on us? The walk of purity. We talk about avoiding uncleanness and covetousness and fornication. Mm-hmm. Then we talk about the uncleanness of the mouth. Filthiness of the mouth. The foul language. We live in a day and age now where foul language is so prevalent among our people. I mean, just in the grocery stores and just even
everywhere.
Listening to the radio, it's everywhere. I remember years ago when Bernie Mac came on the scene, they said Bernie Mac was the next Bill Cosby. Yeah. So I happened to listen to a little of it, and I said Bill Cosby never really sounded like that.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac used some words that Bill Cosby never used, and so we have to be careful. We covered the walk of purity, and it's important that we as people of God that we walk holy,
amen,
and that we walk in purity. Some things that in the Word of God say some things just aren't convenient for people of God.
Amen.
There's a behavior that we should have that is abnormal to a lost society.
Right.
We ought to be different on our jobs, and we ought to be different in our communities and our neighborhoods. And as children, we ought to be different.
Yeah.
People always say, what's wrong with the public schools? You know, when I look at the public schools and I see a lot of folks that children of God, supposedly, you know, every church in Youngstown is represented at the Youngstown schools. I just wonder if holiness is being even taught anymore in the churches. Because our young people aren't holy. Our young people aren't holy. We need to put out a generation of holy people. You ought to want to be holy.
Yes.
You young people. When you meet a young man or a young woman, these things ought to come right to you.
Right.
Okay? You meet a young man and he's cussing and swearing and talking crazy and foolish talking, you know? He said, what's foolish talking, Pastor? Thoughtless talk. Just stupid, silly talk.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Coarse jesting, we talked about that last week. Just vulgar stuff.
Amen.
But we live in a generation where the kids turn on the music and they call each other bees and call each other out of their names, and it's just different.
Amen.
Ugly talk.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Don't let no boy talk to you ugly.
Yes.
And don't let no girl talk to you ugly. Because the girls talking just as ugly as the boys.
Amen.
This ain't a boy thing because the girls is nasty.
Amen.
I worked 5 years in a female prison with the female inmates, and they nasty.
Amen.
And they vulgar, and their mouths is nasty and foul.
Yes.
So let's look at that as we move on down. I'm just sort of review. We're going to look at the scriptures. I'm going to read. We're going to pick up at verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. But when we look at it, let's read our scripture. I'll get ahead of myself. Let's stand and read scripture. I mean, it took off. Amen. Let's all stand if we're able, and as God's word is read, and we're going to read from 8 to 14. 8 to 14, and we were talking about the walk of light. Okay, walking in the light, or walking in the light, being a witness to the goodness of God. I titled this sermon, Let's Light Up the World. Let's light up the world. As saints of God, we ought to light up the world. Everywhere we go ought to be brighter because we're there.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be brighter.
Yes.
And I don't mean brighter because we point fingers at each other and point and saying what people ought not do and what they should do just because we're there. It ought to be brighter. Look at 8 through 14 and see if we can see the walk of light within the scriptures. Paul's reading here. He's talking to these saints of God. Now, he's talking to saints of God. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth, make manifest in light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light."
Amen.
Father God, we live in a dark, dark world. And you called us as believers to be the light of the world. And Father God, I know you're going to double judge us all. As children of God, you said in your word, judgment must begin in the house of God. Because we have turned off the lights. The church has become a dark place. Father God, we would ask you today, Father God, that you would just fill us with your light. That we would shine, Father God, wherever we go, we would shine. Not because we wear buttons that say that I'm a Christian, or bracelets to say I love Jesus, or hats to say I love the Lord, but because of the light of God that's in us, folks will be able to see Jesus in us without us saying a word. We ask right now, Father God, that you bless the ears of those that are here. Let this word of God, Father God, minister to some soul, lost soul, some soul that has not received God's blessings, that may have received them, Father God, but have put them on the shelf. Father God, we ask that you would just speak through the man of God today, that some soul would just brighten up, that the light would come on and would never, ever go off. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember being with different pastors and especially Pastor Kimbrough, as I spent some time with him, and he would get in the pulpit and preach, and he would get news that his friends and his friends had passed away, and he would still stand in God's pulpit and preach. And my heart is heavy because I have good friends that aren't here today.
Amen.
And I'm concerned about them. And I just pray for them, pray for me. We get through this lesson. It's a great, great, great lesson. I look at it and we talk about the big three. Anybody heard the big three? In Miami, the big three is LeBron and Wade and Bosch. In Detroit, back in the day, the big three was Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Okay? And in the church, the big three is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So as I was looking at this lesson, I was going through it. I covered some of it already. But Paul was talking, and Paul's systematic. And he's given you classes of things going on. So he said the big three moral sins, and we covered them last week. And he said fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And covetousness is just greed. Okay? And what makes covetousness easy, evil, is greed that some people have that they don't want to work for. They just want stuff.
Yeah.
Sort of what you had in Warren when they arrested all those folks. Selling heroin and different things. They selling cocaine and drugs and different things. They want nice stuff. They don't want to work, but they'll kill, steal, and destroy someone to get things.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you had the big three verbal sins. The big three sins that come out of the mouth. Filthiness and foolish talking and coarse jesting. And again, I don't want people to lose their sense of humor. That's not what this is saying. Okay? I mean, there's a difference between your mama jokes and knock-knock jokes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay? And young people know there's ways you can joke with somebody when your intent is to hurt their feelings.
Amen.
Okay? Your intent is to hurt them. Mm-hmm. And that's so prevalent in our high schools anymore. You know, folks are killing themselves and committing suicide. There's a young girl, and not the one in Steubenville. This happened in California. I don't know if anybody read it other than me. But, you know, again, just out with the wrong crowd, involved in fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. She was found in a drunken state, 15 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
She's drunk. She's at a party, and she finds herself in bed, naked, and they drew pictures all over her after they assaulted her sexually and took pictures of her with their video cameras and put them online. And she's seen all that online, and she committed suicide. You know, I'm just going to say it. I don't know how many of us at 15 years old can handle that. We didn't have to deal with it when we were 15 years old, because we didn't have cell phones. Okay, we wasn't doing that kind of stuff. But some of you young folks need to be real careful.
Amen.
And I know all y'all have cell phones with cameras on them.
Amen.
But be careful, because once you put that out there, it ain't coming back.
No.
Okay? And you may think this guy or this girl like to see you in your underwear, but then they get mad at you and then they put it out there. So you just be careful, young folks. Pastor, you just paranoid. You know, working at that prison too long. Well, there's a waiting list to get in. The big three. Filthiness, foolish talking, and coarse jesting. You know, and then they talk about the preacher. The big three. In verse 6. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things comes the wrath of God. You know, preachers, and myself in this class, we need to preach the word of God. We can be deceivers in the pulpit. And a deceiver is what they call a con artist or a charlatan. And he's preaching to make people happy, because happy people give money.
Amen.
Okay? Then he could be a vain talker, because he's not preaching hope. He's not preaching things that are worthwhile, things that aren't heavenly. And then he can be ignorant of the truth. And that's what the Word of God say. You know, you can be ignorant of the truth. We talked about it a little bit this morning. But the preacher needs to talk about heaven and hell. And the mention of Christ and His kingdom ought to be throughout the text. But this week, we're looking at this walk in the light. Paul picks it up in verse number 8. And really just profound things. But he says something here. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. And just looking at that, you would say, what's he talking about? He's talking to a church that's a year old. A year old. He's talking to a church that was a year old that had came out of gross sins, that had came out of the world. This was a church of Ephesus. We talked about how foul and how filthy the city of Ephesus was. This church was a year old, and Paul was saying, but ye were sometimes darkness. Now, darkness in the Word of God always talks about, it always is symbolic of Satan's kingdom. Okay? Satan's evil kingdom, his evil deeds, and those who do not obey God are always represented as in spiritual darkness. And folks, we were. Paul says in Corinthians, such were some of us. Spiritual ignorance is another word for being darkened. Some of us were spiritually ignorant at one time. We didn't think about the things of God. We could care less about the things of God. We could care less about living holy and righteous lives. Some of us may still feel that way. Okay? Spiritual ignorance. Having our hearts blinded from the things of God. Paul's talking here about a darkness that we came out of. And he's talking to these Ephesian believers saying, for ye were sometimes darkness. Then he says, but now. But now. There's a huge but now right in the middle of this verse. Because he's saying the moment you come into contact with a holy God, the moment you come into contact with Christ, things change. Things change. There is power, transforming power in a relationship with a holy God. So if you say you come into relationship with a holy God, there has to be a transformation. Something has to happen. You cannot have an encounter with a holy God and stay in spiritual darkness. Look at John 3:19. I know we're familiar with John 3:16, why God came into the world. But John 3:19 is just interesting. Look at 18. It said, for he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God? That's the question of the ages. Do you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God? Do you believe that Christ stepped out of glory, died on a cross, buried for 3 days, rose from the grave, and ascended to heaven? That's absolute. There's no getting around that. Look at verse 19. And then he said, this is the condemnation, this is the judgment, that light in the person of Jesus Christ, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have a preacher that was born in light. You don't have a preacher that who will confess that since I was a baby, I am not like the rich young ruler. God called me out of darkness. I know about some of this stuff. Amen. I've experienced the walk in darkness. Amen. Bible says that sin has a pleasure for a season. Bible says that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And I'm here to tell you, light came into my soul. Uh-huh. And enlightened me. Yeah.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you saved, God had to enlighten you.
Yeah.
See, this is the light that come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why, Jesus? This is in Jesus' language. Jesus is speaking this. This is in red letters. Because their deeds were evil. And we don't like to look at ourselves now as
Amen.
Evil. But when you didn't know the Lord, when we didn't know the Lord, we was doing some evil stuff.
Amen.
Godless stuff.
Uh-huh.
Thoughtless stuff.
Yeah.
Our mouths was filthy, some of us. Our deeds were evil. We was involved in fornication. We was involved in uncleanness. We was involved in all type of things.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, preacher, you don't have to remind me of that. Sometimes we need a reminder. Sometimes we do. Because we forget and we get complacent and we rest on our Lord. Well, God saved me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want to do. God is saying we ought to walk in light. Walk as children of light. And a child walking as a child of light is walking in constant reminded, constant memory of what God has done. When I see saints of God living any kind of way, I know they have forgotten what God has done for them. See, we talk about it, and I talk about sin as mud. Sin as mud. And if a pig falls in the mud, he's comfortable there. Roll around in it. Just flapping it all over the place. But if a sheep falls in mud, that sheep is screaming and hollering. He wants to get out of there. And that's a picture of us. Now that lets you know how you are. Now if you fall into the mud and you cool with it, and you comfortable with it, and you like the way it feels on you, then you're probably a pig. But if you get fall into sin as a child of God, as a sheep, you're going to holler for the shepherd. You're going to holler for the shepherd. Where's your staff? Where's your rod? Get me out of this mess, because you want to come out of it. And the next time you see mud as a sheep, you're going all around it. For everyone, verse 20 of John 3, for everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. See, when you turn the light on, things happen. Mm-hmm. It was time to go. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't like the light. When lights came on, folks were running up out of the clubs. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you knew what time lights was coming on, so we leave early. You knew the lights was coming on at 2 o'clock. So at 1:30, you were leaving. We've been saved so long. Listen, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. See, you don't have a problem coming to the light. You don't have a problem with the Word of God. You don't have the problem with the Word of God rebuking you and reproving you, because you want to be better. You want to be stronger. And light is designed to make you strong. You don't have a problem with your life being exposed. You know, David stood before God and said, listen, God, listen. Test me. Examine me. Prove me. In the manner of God, you know, I hear people all the time, they don't want to be judged. You don't have a right to judge me. As a man of God, a woman of God, you don't have a problem with the world judging you. You know you a sinner. You know you're not perfect.
Amen.
But you know one thing, you are working on this building.
Amen.
Paul's talking about this.
Yeah.
Paul's talking about those that are in darkness want to be in darkness. Look what he says. He's talking here. For you are sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Our light is only found in the Lord. We get away from the Lord, we out of light. That's why we cry and we cringe. We look around and we see folks that aren't in church. And our heart goes out. We used to wonder if something happened, because we know how evil it is out there. We know how mean this world is. And when people who are God's people and they're absent from the church for long periods of time, we worry. Because we know Satan is, he's mean. He's on duty and he is looking for saints. And he knows that we can get away from the church, we get away from the people of God, we're going to be weakened. There's an illustration about the man. He came over to the brother's house. He had been in church for a long time. And the man had a fire going. He's sitting there watching the ball game. And the preacher went over to the fireplace. He had about 5 logs. And he took one log off, set it on the side. And the man said, what are you doing that for? And he said, you know what? Once you take that log away from the fire, it's going to go out. It's going to cool off. It may smoke a little bit, but it's going to cool off. And it's not going to be effective. And that's what happens to us when we get away from God's house. When we get away from the fellowship and the people of God. Paul says, walk as children of light.
Mm-hmm.
That word walk means your behavior.
Yeah.
How you live. He said, walk as children of light. And to walk as children of light, you have to be discerning.
Yeah.
There's a big old word. What's it mean to be discerning? You have to pay attention. We talked about this morning. Pay attention. Be sober. Be vigilant. Watch your life. Watch the folks that you let come into your world. Watch the places that you go and the things that you do. The things that bring you pleasure. Examine those things. Make sure they are God. Because Satan can, he hides himself in things. And we got to be careful as children of God. Because Satan wants to alter our way of thinking. When you're watching some of the television shows and different things, and I'm not against watching television. I don't watch a lot of them, but I'm not against it. But you have to watch it in a sense, in a discerning way. Is this TV show strengthening me or weakening me? I used to like watching the Family Feud, but anymore it's just everything is sexual. Everything is sensuous and sexual and almost perverted and twisted. And because but my spirit revealed these things to me, I used to like it. Now I turn it on. It ain't right. Okay? Every question. I just like, okay, that's different. That's different. Walking in the light. Walking in the light. How do you get discernment? See, those are the kind of questions that people ask. How do you get discernment, Pastor? I want discernment. I want to be able to look at things and know which is good and what is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, Acts 17:11, familiar. Talking about the people of Berea. They had discernment. Paul said they were more discerning than the people of Thessalonica. Why? Why were they? What did they do differently? Okay? They did something differently than the people of Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was a fine church. Well, Paul says in 17:11, he said these were more noble than Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's interesting. That's interesting. How is your mind today? How did you come to church today? Did you come to church with a readiness of mind? Must I explain what a readiness of mind is? See, you know, you can't run all week with goats and then receive the word of God on Sunday morning. See, a lot of folks try to do that. They want to do everything all week. They watch CNN and Fox and sports and ESPN, movies. They got the movie channel, Cinemax, HBO. They fill their mind with all this stuff. And then on Saturday night, they watching movies all the way up until 12, 1 o'clock. Then they come to church and they think they're going to receive a word from the Lord. And their mind is not prepared for it. So really what they want to see is the preacher hop all around and entertain them because their mind has been conditioned to be entertained all week. And they wish they had a remote control in their hand to make me do some things. But you cannot run all week in the world's mess and think you're going to come to church on Sunday and receive a word from God. It just don't work. It just don't work. And churches know that. You have pastors with degrees in psychology today, and they know that. Yeah. And so you go to their churches, and it's like going to an entertainment center. You take these kids in here now that's texting and playing games, and take them to the video game playroom where they got all kind of games going on. They ain't texting now. They running around. They got the little basketball hoop. They running and playing. And then ministry say, you know what? What's in it for my kids? You know? My kids. I got to get my kids to church. You know, and they look for playgrounds in the church and basketball centers and youth programs. You know, and I'm saying, you don't find that in the Bible. Somebody said this morning. Where's that at in the Bible? Where is it at in the Bible? When Jesus preached, them people brought their kids to the preacher. They didn't leave them. They didn't tell a lot of kids, y'all go all downstairs down and watch Veggie Tales. How do you get discernment? Having a readiness of mind and searching the scriptures daily. Okay? Many of you know where we're going. We've been in Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians. Next week we're going to cover some more. You ought to be able to read ahead and study. Many of us haven't opened our Bibles and read 10 minutes this week. But we think we're going to receive from God. And we haven't even opened the scripture. We haven't prayed. We haven't done anything all week. And we think we're going to hear from God. We watch some stuff. Scandals. I just watched the highlights. I mean, I'm sitting there, and this is the highlight. I'm like, wow. That's interesting. I'll turn on the TV at 10:50, catch the news, and then watch the last 10 minutes of some of this stuff. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow. I got to, that's my competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. For you were sometimes darkness. Are you still darkness? But now you are light in the Word or in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's not a suggestion. How many know that's not a suggestion? Paul's not making a suggestion there. He's talking to saved folks. Now, if you ain't saved, just let it go in one ear out the other. Because you're serving the devil. And you just come to church because you've been through this. I've been going to church all my life. And that's the only reason you come. But if you are a child of God, Paul is making a commandment here. He says, walk as children of light. How? Simple. Kiss theory. We talked about last week. Keep people simple, stupid. It's simple. How do we walk as children of light? I remember Sherlock Holmes back in the day. Watson would be trying to get deep. He tried to get real deep. And Sherlock Holmes said, listen, it's elementary, my dear Watson. And that's how he did his show. It was a good show. We watched that stuff. But it's simple. Look how Paul addresses it in verse number 9. How are we walking as children of light? That's a great question. Somebody ought to be asking, Pastor, how do we walk as children of light? Because I'm having a problem. Sure you are. I am too. The battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. He says, here's how to do it in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. There's Paul again. There's the big three again. He's taking that right out of Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But he starts right there. Okay? He picks right up there. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. You want to gauge how you're living. Right there. Are you a good person? How about that? Are you a good person? Think about that. Think about that. Young people. Bobby, Keelan, and Jeremy. Are you a good person? Full of goodness, kindness, honesty, integrity. That's a big word. Are you a person of integrity? If you say you're going to do something, do you do it?
Amen.
Are you honest? Are you honest? Can you give an honest answer?
Amen.
The next one, righteousness. We talk about living in the light or walking as children of light. Are you a righteous person? How about that? Are you a righteous person? Are you decent? How's your thought life? Are you a person of truth? How about that? Are you truthful? Is truthfulness a part of you? Somebody give you a question, an assignment. Are you accurate in doing it? That's interesting. I say that a lot. That's interesting. Look what Paul says. Proving. This is the walk of the believer. We're not walking in blindness. We're not walking in the dark. So I see some of y'all come back 6 months from now, a year now, 5 years from now. Oh, they, you know that. You know, so-and-so got in all kinds of trouble. Why? Why? Because they're walking in darkness. You ever had the lights go out?
Oh, yeah.
The lights go out. Even in your house, you're familiar with the lights go out. You're not moving around like you would if the lights were on.
Amen.
I've talked to many people with broken toes. I said, how you break your toe? I got up in the middle of the night and hit it on something. Because you can't move in the dark like you can move in the light.
Amen.
So Paul says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is the walk of the believer. This is the walk of the child of God who's walking in the light. And that word prove means to have evidence or verify something. Somebody say, you need to prove it. What do you have to show up with? You go to get your driver's license. Some of you go to get your permit. What do you have to bring? Birth certificate. You have to prove that you are who you say you are.
Amen.
As a child of God, we ought to walk in a way that we're proving in our walk who we are.
Amen.
As a child of God.
Yeah.
Proving.
True.
1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things.
Uh-huh.
Prove all things.
Yes, sir.
Test all things. Examine all things. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's who we are.
Yeah.
We just don't want to fall into something. I hear people all the time. Well, I was just with the wrong crowd. I just got caught up. No, you didn't.
Sure.
No, you didn't. You were walking in darkness.
Amen.
You weren't discerning. You weren't discriminating. You just did what you wanted to do.
Amen.
That's why Paul goes on in the next verse. And he says, proving what is acceptable. And that word acceptable is satisfactory.
Yeah.
And you walk in a walk and you say, you know, is this acceptable to God? Because that's your authority. Would the Lord listen to this kind of music if he was with me? Or would the Lord watch this movie with me? Would the Lord approve of me wearing this outfit? Would the Lord approve of me wearing this? Would the Lord approve of him or her? How many know there's nothing in the Bible about dating? There's not a verse in the Bible about dating. You find it, let me know. Closer you'll get when Isaac sent his son out to find a wife, or Abraham sent a slave out to find a wife, he's going to find me a wife. But don't get one from over there. Okay. Would the Lord approve of him or her? Or would the Lord approve of how I treat my spouse? How about that? We don't like talking about spouses. We so sexually active as young people, we're not even thinking about getting married. That is not even on our minds. And we have lowered the standard. Young folks don't even want to get married no more. That's for lames. How you mean you're going to be with the same woman for 25, 30 years? It's not even up for debate. It's my friend. You know, I just want you to meet my friend. It's my friend. Which is code for, you know, this is who I'm having sex with right now. Okay. And you bring them around at Christmas time. I just want you to meet so and so. Jeez. Working so hard to make them happy, just got everything out. And why are you bringing her out like that? You know, having sex with a man that's not your husband, or having sex with a woman that's not your wife, puts you in the prostitution category. As a child of God.
Amen. I understand.
So really they shouldn't say, this is my friend. They ought to say, this is my girl for hire. I'm not marrying her. Because I'm going to ask you, when are you going to get married? Oh, you know, why get married? You know, we just living together, shacked up. Preacher, you better let me keep on going. Some of y'all need to hear that though.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because these brothers don't want nothing, and a lot of these sisters don't want nothing. Ephesians 5 and 9. Proving, testing, examining what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's the walk of the believer. As you walk, as a believer, as a man of God, a woman of God. You want to make God happy.
Amen.
And have no fellowship Verse 11. Talking about the walk of light now. We talk about the walk of light. I know this difficult stuff. I know something. This difficult stuff. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now you know what you came out of. You know what God has delivered you from. You know what God has brought you out of. Now who wants to go back? Who wants to go back? So you meet somebody who's talking that junk that God has delivered you from. That ought to just, your spirit, it ought to grieve your spirit. And two things are happening when you get in fellowship with a person like that. Somebody's going to be stronger. The Word of God said, don't be, 2 Corinthians 6:14, unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you meet somebody, and you call yourself a saint, but if you meet somebody who ain't, and that person is strong in what they believe, strong in what they believe, and you got this little go to church twice a month Christianity, and you meet somebody who is darkness. Their whole life is darkness. Cussing, swearing, drinking, using drugs, robbing, stealing, and you run into that person. And they have identifying marks. That person can't talk long without cussing or swearing or lighting up a cigarette or having a drink or you know. But he's so fine. I just got to have me a thug. Oh, they're singing that. Now, have no fellowships with the unfruitful work of darkness. Listen. Some of y'all ain't ready. Some of you young men in here ain't ready. Old ones too. Because these young girls is trapping these old timers first of the monthers. I know what I'm talking about. But some of you in here, 14, 15 year old brothers in here, you ain't ready for a sexual encounter. You just ain't ready. Mess you up. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You ever feel like your heart just fell out? Have no fellowship with them. Some of these sisters just ain't good for you. And some of these brothers ain't good for these sisters.
Amen.
This is what God is saying here in God's Word.
Yeah.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What you should do, but rather reprove them. There's some things y'all won't even ask me to do as pastor.
Amen.
Some of y'all doing some things, y'all ain't going to ask me to join you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm pointing the finger and I'm telling you, you ought not do this. Some things y'all already know. Well, you know the pastor ain't going to. Ain't happening. Some things you just won't do. Some things you just won't do.
Amen.
Okay. It just is what it is. Reproving this word here, this word don't mean pointing your finger at them. This don't mean point, tell them you ought not drink, you ought not cuss, you ought not say out all that. That's what the word reprove means. It says living a life.
Amen.
Living a life. Just living a life. Just being a man of God. You don't have to say a word. And some folks, on my job, they're not asking me to go to different things. They have functions. I've been working at that prison for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never. And it's not because I'm a bad person. And it's not because I don't give. I know how to give at a graduation party. I know how to give at a wedding. I know you write me there. Are you going to give a nice something?
All right. Mm-hmm.
But they know. That's brethren. We're going to be pranking and cussing and acting a fool, so ain't no use inviting him. So I just don't get invited. And I'm alright with that. I'm alright with that. Now it's when the saints don't invite me to their parties and stuff.
Amen.
Like, Shirley had a party? Shirley had a birthday party? Then Catherine didn't get invited to you. Let's roll. Keep saying amen. Keep saying amen. Keep saying amen. Keep me fired up. This is tough. I'm telling y'all, let me tell y'all something. Y'all think that I'm doing this because this is my choice. This is God's choice.
Amen.
This is not easy preaching. You can open up the Word of God. You can go online and punch in hardest chapters in the Word of God to preach. And guess what will come up? Ephesians 4 and 5. It's not easy, but it's necessary.
Yes,
you know, it's like that Mercure comb, you know, your mother used to have in the burn. You remember you fall? And as soon as all they knew back then is Mercure comb.
Yes.
Not the red stuff. Not the red stuff. But they just poured it on. It just burning. See, Claire said it turned pretty. Yeah. You all cut all down to the white meat, and here come the Mercure cone. See, Paul says in verse 12, "What is the shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret for the man of God?" Listen, folks. This, like I say, God has brought me up for a mighty long way. Okay, I'm not bold enough to stand up here and testify or give you a testimony about what I'd have been through. God, I'd say, listen, I was a sinner.
Amen.
And you take it from there. See, some folks get a testimony, it's almost like they bragging.
Yeah.
I was a pimp.
Yeah.
I was a Mac Daddy. I had 900 women. You know, I'm like, man, you sound like you glorifying that stuff.
No.
You was a sinner.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's all.
That's
all. So Paul said, listen, I'm not going to sit here and share it with you, but you know what they did? And he's talking about Greek folks. Greek folks was notorious sinners. You know, they had the average Greek man had three wives. One for pleasure, one to keep the house, and one to have children by. And that was just the norm of a Greek man. And if you had more money, you could have more. So sinning to them was just second nature. Just like when we was unsaved. When we was lost, sinning was just what we did.
Amen.
And if nobody ever told us any different, we're going to die in our sins. But sinning is what we do. We were born in sin. That's why Paul, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't say it was a good idea for you to get born again.
Amen.
He didn't say you ought to think about getting born again. He didn't say, well, you know, think about this. You might want to get born again. No, he didn't say that. He said you must be born again.
Yeah.
You must be born again. You can't die on your own terms.
Amen.
You must be born again.
Yes, sir.
I remember being at the hospital. My brother called me at the hospital. A friend of his had was dying. Had cancer all through his back, everywhere. He was dying. And they called us in. They said, we're going to pull the plugs on him. And so they prayed. I prayed with the family and everything. And they pulled the plugs. And he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought. And this was a notorious man. This was a notorious man. I'm not going to give all his business, but I know personally he killed two people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been shot himself. He was paralyzed from the neck down. From the neck down, he was paralyzed. They pulled the plugs on him, and the family was in there, and I stayed there for about half an hour with them. And then the nurse came and said, we want to take a culture. There's some blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they stuck that needle in that man. And he hollered, screaming and hollering, and his family come running in. He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen him. He was in comatose for like 2 weeks, and he came alive. And his mother was a God-fearing man. And I said, can I talk to him?
Yes.
And I talked to this man about Jesus.
Yes.
And about his salvation and his soul. And he had a ventilators all down him. And all he could do was say, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't the next day I talked to my brother. He had passed away. He stayed alive for about a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to communicate. It was just craziest thing I've ever seen. And I just wonder. Let's keep moving. Everybody don't get that opportunity. The Word of God says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come to the Lord. And I say, come to the Lord. I mean, walking this aisle. You can walk out here all you want. Don't mean nothing. You get in your car and you ride home. And God will say, listen, listen, boy. Listen, girl. You know you're hellbound. You know you're wrong. You know you're living foul. You know you're evil and heartless. You know you don't have no goodness in you at all. You just a wretched old dirty dog. And if you die, don't bleed like Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg's friend died. And he say, he put on his face page, Warren G. I don't know which one of Snoop Dogg's friends died. Nate Dogg. Yeah, I need somebody to know. Nate Dogg died. So Snoop Dogg went on Nate Dogg's website and said, you know, you've been my dog all my life, and you know what we say. All dogs go to heaven. Don't believe that. All dogs don't go to heaven. All dogs don't go to heaven. Okay? See, we got vain talkers. All dogs don't go to heaven. Everybody in heaven wants to be there.
Amen.
Okay, you're not going to accidentally just fall in heaven. And what? Whoo! Whoa, where am I? How did I get here? No, don't work like that. Everybody in heaven want to be there.
Right.
I'm getting long. I know I'm getting long. I'm getting carried away. Listen. Wherefore, verse 14, last verse. Wherefore he said,
uh-huh.
And I'm gonna give you a formula, not a formula. I'm gonna give you Jesus' steps.
Yeah.
You got a loved one lost. You got a loved one lost, and only way to hell, dead in trespasses and sin. That's what Paul said here. He said, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Pastor, I got a loved one. I got loved two. I got love three. I got love four. I got a lot of folks in my family that's dead in sin. And if they die today, they know they're going to hell. I don't care what you say at their funeral. Listen, what must I do to save my loved one? That's the plea of the believer's heart. So we watching our loved ones die and go to hell. We just sitting there partying away. Listen. John 11, Jesus talks about how to save a loved one. How to raise a loved one from the dead. Anybody want to know? John 11, I'm going to close with John 11. Please turn there, John 11. If you got a pew Bible, I don't know what page it's on. If you got a pew Bible and you find John 11, just holler it out so somebody can find these steps.
Amen.
To saving a loved one who is in hell. Yes. Or on their way to hell. Say that. 107? 1107? 11 something. It's not 107. 1507 in the Pew Bibles. Listen. Lazarus was dead. Jesus came on the scene. Lazarus been dead for 4 days.
Yeah.
Some of our loved ones been dead for 40 years. 50 years. 60 years. Now, as soon as she heard that, verse 29, she arose quickly and came to Jesus. That's a good first step. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her. And when she saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep. Mm-hmm. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, 7 steps. First of all, in verse 33, you see Jesus groaning in the spirit.
Yeah.
He groaned in his spirit because the behavior upset him. You got a loved one, you ought to groan in your spirit because their behavior is upsetting to you. Their behavior, their lifestyle, their way of living is causing you trouble. So you see, Jesus groaned in his spirit, and we ought to groan in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And now the second thing you see in verse 34, it says, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" That's interesting. "Where have you laid him?" Verse 34. "Then said unto him," they said unto him, "Come and see." Listen.
Yes.
You got to get out of your comfort zone, church.
Yes.
If you're gonna save a loved one, sometimes you got to get where they are.
Yeah.
Listen. Jesus was a master at it. He went the long way to visit that woman at the well at high noon. He made an emergency stop at Gadara to lose a lunatic. He got off the main road and went to a leper camp.
All right.
To free 10 lepers. 9 was ungrateful. Sometimes you got to take the mocking and the ridicule. He took the mocking and the ridicule to save Jairus' daughter. They say the child is dead. Listen. Jesus went to the grave. That graveyard could mean that place where that people hung out at. And Jesus went to the graveyard. Listen, here's what we don't do. Look at verse 35. Are you weeping for your loved ones? Are you weeping for your lost loved ones? Shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Have you shared some tears? When you look at your children and you know God don't come into their life, they're going to grow up and be fools.
Yeah.
Have you wept over your loved ones, over your lost loved ones? Listen. Look at verse 36. Oh, goodness. Then said the Jews, how about this one? Behold, how he loved him. It wasn't just internal weeping. It was external. They could see the love that Jesus had for this man. Do your children see the love you have for him? Oh, I sit there and I just labor with them. I just labor with mine. Labor with them over and over and over. I'm just tired of hearing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you just labor, you labor and you labor. Look at the next one. You have to dish the naysayers. You know, there are always going to be folks that's going to tell you that person ain't worth saving. They ain't no good. They so caught up in sin, you wasting your time.
Yeah.
How about that? You are wasting your time. This is coming from Martha. Look what he says. Verse 39. Look what Martha said. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Huh? And Martha said, the sister of him that was dead, Lord, by this time, he stank. For he'd been dead for 4 days. So you're always going to have that. You're always going to have to deal with the ones that say, no hope. See, some of y'all in here, your family members will give up on you. God will never give up on you.
Amen.
You ain't here by happenstance.
Amen.
You ain't here by chance. There ain't nobody here. There's the right people here. The right people here. Listen. Here's the most important thing that we have to do as loved ones.
Amen.
As loved ones with lost souls. And this, I think, this is where we fail at the most, right here. The next one, verse 41 and 42. Let me read it. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Let me tell you something. If you're going to save your lost loved one, you have to have a personal intimate relationship with a holy God.
Amen.
We try to save our loved one. We don't know the Lord ourselves.
Amen.
And we praying for something. I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Who are you praying to? I had an inmate at the prison. All he ever pray for me. Who do you want me to pray to?
Mm-hmm.
And only one God. That's a lie.
Do
you have an intimate relationship with God? Is it serious? Is it personal? Look at Jesus Christ plead in desperation. Look at verse 43. This was serious. This was serious. How serious are you? How serious are we of saving our loved ones? And he says, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. That's desperation. That's Jesus desperate. Cried for a loved one. He said, Lazarus, come forth. It was serious. It was personal. And listen, you're going to get results. You will get results. When you approach God in righteousness, in holiness, in sincerity, you will get results.
Amen.
Our loved ones are getting saved because we're not serious about the things of God. And you know what you're serious about.
Oh yeah.
We all know.
Yeah.
The Word of God says, examine yourself. It's not me to examine you. But you think about how serious you are. You will get results. Your husband, your child, your cousin, your nephew, your niece, your neighbor, your co-worker, you will get results. Are you sincere? Are you sincere? That word sincere, it's a Latin word. It's a Latin word they used when they used pottery makers back in the day. And a pottery maker, he make pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend a lot of time on that pottery. And they get all the way where it's done. And they notice a crack in it. And because they was fraudulent and dishonest pottery makers, they would put some wax together. And they would wax that crack. Then they would paint over it. And if you wasn't discerning and paying attention, you go by that pottery. And when you put hot water in it, like most of us, we good long as we don't get in hot water. Because we all, our Christianity is good until it's tested. But see, what a good person, a good business person, take that pottery and they set that pottery up to the light. And the light would reveal the cracks. And this is what God's Word does. That's what it does for us. It puts us to the light. And you find out where your cracks are. How are we today? Then we might have to get back on the wheel. See, some of us may have to get back on the wheel. Some of us may have to get back on the wheel.